Stanley Ginsberg bakes bread. Constantly. It's his passion. And that passion is focused on one single grain, rye. Rye bread in so many glorious forms. America's Dixie rye, the great rise of Russia, France, Italy, Sweden. Well, you get the idea. Stanley's put all of these between the covers of his book, The Rye Baker, classic breads from Europe and America. David Leet got to talk rye bread with Stanley.
Stanley, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me.
What was the motivating passion behind a single subject book all about rye bread?
Well, it really starts with my earlier book, Inside the Jewish Bakery. Of course, I grew up eating rye bread, or at least what I thought was rye bread, and it was the typical Jewish deli rise and pumpernickels and such. But as I researched the other book, I discovered that there was a whole other layer of rye that had come over with the Great Immigration in the early part of the 20th century that had disappeared by the time of World War II. And I discovered that, unlike the United States, which is primarily wheat-centric, or Southern Europe, which is the source of most of the artisan baking, right. There is this incredibly vibrant tradition of rye bread all across Northern, Central, and Eastern Europe.
Now, in the book, you call rye the recalcitrant grain. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
What it means is that, without trying to get too technical, what it means is that rye chemistry is very different from wheat chemistry. Mm-hmm. Rye doughs are not based on gluten, which is that nice, stretchy, agreeable, easy-to-handle stuff, but it's based on gels made out of starches, complex carbohydrates. And those gels they're both unstable in the presence of certain enzymes, and they're also very sticky and very challenging to handle. And so the biggest thing that I had to learn was to forget most of what I knew about baking with wheat and start from scratch. Mm-hmm. I learned techniques that evolved over centuries in Europe, and incredibly sophisticated techniques to unlock the flavor and to control the instability of the rye doughs.
Stanley, do a little globe hopping for us, because in the book, one of the things I love is that you have loaves and recipes from all over the world.
Well, what I find most interesting about these rye cultures is that people in a particular environment use what's available. Right. And because environments differ, geographies and climates and agricultural practices and what grows and what doesn't, the breads of a particular region have very specific and consistent characteristics, the terroir, if you will. Mm-hmm. And what is most interesting about the rye breads, for instance, of France and Spain and Portugal, is that they tend to simply substitute rye for wheat, which is to say there are no sophisticated or very few sophisticated techniques that emerge. But then you move further north, and again, the thing that's important here is that rye grew where wheat could not grow. And so the further north you went, the more dependent people were on rye, and to a lesser extent, barley and oats. And so we start getting these really interesting kinds of regional characteristics. So in the north, you've got darker, heavier, more robust, more sour breads.
Right.
You might find also some seeds and things like that. In Western Scandinavia, Sweden primarily, and parts of Denmark, the breads tend to be sweet, and they use yeast rather than sourdough culture. If you move eastward into Russia and the Baltics, the repertoire of ingredients is much more limited. It's typically limited to different kinds of rye flour, salt, caraway, and malted rye. Which produces just an incredibly wide range of flavors and flavor notes and accents. Central Germany and Poland, southern Poland, northern Ukraine, where there's a wheat-rye overlap, the breads are lighter and milder, use more dairy products, use lighter rye flours rather than the dark, dense, heavy whole grains. Same thing true across central and southern Germany. But then you get into the Alps, Switzerland, Alpine Austria, Bavaria, and northern Italy, South Tyrol, Alpine Italy. And you find there are multiple sponges. A single bread will use perhaps a rye sourdough and a wheat sourdough and then a wheat yeasted sponge.
That must create great flavor.
Oh, it's just fascinating stuff. And the flavors are just unbelievable.
So when someone picks up this book, and they are a novice rye baker, maybe they've only made one or two loaves in right. their lives, what are some of the recipes in the book that they should start with?
Well, I think probably start with the straight doughs. The Swedish sweet limpa is a very good place to start. You can bake that bread in the space of a couple or 3 hours. There is the French apple cider rye from Normandy, which is just a marvelous bread. It's also yeast leavened, and it's something that can be knocked off in a couple of hours. Some of the Swedish flatbreads, the Scandinavian flatbreads, are easy and accessible. There are some Bavarian rye rolls called Schwarzbrot from Munich that are also yeast leavened. I have a recipe for rye biscuits from Sweden that are leavened with baking powder. So there are a bunch, and one of the things that I tried to do in the book is to indicate how long the total process takes, because for many of these things where sourdough sponges are involved, it might take, 24, 28 hours, but the actual hands-on time may only be 20 or 30 minutes.
Exactly, yeah. Stanley, it was great talking to you.
It was my pleasure to be here with you. Thank you very much for having me.
Stanley Ginsberg is author of The Rye Baker, Classic Breads from Europe and America. David Leet is the great mind behind leetsculinaria.com and author of the forthcoming book, Notes on a Banana, a memoir of food, love, and manic depression. Now, you can find Stanley's recipe for Normandy apple cider rye. It's on the website, with a whole list of other great recipes, I might add. So check it all out at splendidtable.org.